In this episode of the Godlywood Girl Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study, we are diving into Acts chapter 24.
I'm Stephanie Rodinez, and welcome to the Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study. My goal is to encourage the discouraged with scripture, inspiration, and resources to help you do exactly what God purposed you to do on this earth, become a Christian entrepreneur. The definition of a Godlywood girl is a woman of Christ who says yes to her God-given purpose, no matter what everyone else tries to say or do. So if you are stepping into your purpose as a Christian entrepreneur, welcome to the Godlywood Girl Sisterhood. You are my people, and I can't wait to meet you. Now let's dive into today's episode. And remember, if you want to join me for these live recordings on Godlywood Girl's Instagram feed, join me at Godlywood Girl on Instagram now. Let's dive right in.
All right, my sisters, let's get started with a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to dive deep into your word, Lord Jesus. We truly appreciate you, who you are, what you've done, how you are here for us, how you are always surrounding us and encouraging us and wanting the best for us, even after you've already made the ultimate sacrifice for us by giving up your life on the cross so that we can have salvation, Lord. Even after that, you are still here looking out for us, Lord, and I'm just so grateful to you for that, Father God. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence in. Help us be able to see what you want us to see and hear what you want us to hear. I love you so much. In Jesus' beautiful name I pray, amen. All right, my girls, let's dive into Acts chapter 24, where we're going to be a little surprised. We're going to be a little surprised because I'm going to give you a spoiler. Paul ends up in prison for 2 years. 2 years waiting, just waiting. And it all started because those dudes lied on him and got the whole crowd to go against him. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, and here in this chapter, we get to see what happens. Remember that the people who wanted to kill him made that pledge. They're not going to eat or drink anything until Paul is dead. So the Roman soldiers had to have Paul escorted out of the city. And now he's going to stand before Ananias and be accused. So let's start with Acts chapter 24, verse 1. 5 days later, Ananias, the high priest, went to the city of Caesarea. He brought with him some of the older Jewish leaders and a lawyer named Tertullus. They went to Caesarea to make charges against Paul before the governor. Paul was called into the meeting, and Tertullus began to make his accusations. Tertullus said, "Most honorable Felix, our people enjoy much peace because of you, and many wrong things in our country are being made right through your wise help. For this, we all continue to be thankful. But I don't want to take any more of your time, so I will only say a few words. Please be patient. This man is a troublemaker. He causes trouble with the Jews everywhere in the world. He's a leader of the Nazarene group. Also, he was trying to make the temple unclean, but we stopped him. You can decide if all this is true. Ask him some questions yourself." The other Jewish leaders agreed and said it was all true. Verse 10. The governor made a sign for Paul to speak. So Paul answered, "Governor Felix, I know that you've been a judge over this nation for a long time, so I'm happy to defend myself before you. I went to worship in Jerusalem only 12 days ago. You can learn for yourself that this is true. These Jews who are accusing me did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or making trouble with the people. And I was not making trouble or arguing in the synagogues or any other place in the city. These men cannot prove the things they're saying against me now. But I will tell you this. I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which these Jews say is not the right way. And I believe everything that is taught in the law of Moses and all that is written in the books of the prophets. I have the same hope in God that these Jews have, the hope that all people, good and bad, will be raised from death. This is why I always try to do what I believe is right before God and before everyone." Verse 17. "I was away from Jerusalem for many years. I went back there to take money to help my people. I also had some gifts to offer at the temple. I was doing this when some Jews saw me there. I had finished the cleansing ceremony. I had not made any trouble, and no one was gathering around me. But some Jews from Asia were there. They should be here, standing before you. If I had really done anything wrong, they are the ones who should accuse me. They were there. Ask these men here if they found any wrong in me when I stood before the high council meeting in Jerusalem. I did say one thing when I stood before them and shouted, 'You are judging me today because I believe that people will rise from death.'" Verse 22. Felix already understood a lot about the way. He stopped the trial and said, when Commander Lysias comes here, I will decide what to do with you. Felix told the army guard to keep Paul guarded, but to give him some freedom and to let his friends bring whatever he needed. After a few days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jew. Felix asked for Paul to be brought to him. He listened to Paul talk about believing in Christ Jesus. But Felix became afraid when Paul spoke about things like doing right, self-control, and the judgment that will come in the future. He said, "Go away now. When I have more time, I will call for you." But Felix had another reason for talking with Paul. He hoped Paul would pay him a bribe. So he sent for Paul often and talked with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus became governor. So Felix was no longer governor, but he left Paul in prison to please the Jews. So that's chapter 24. And like I said, at that ending, I'm like, whoa, Paul was left in prison for 2 years. And anybody could be discouraged by that, right? Anybody could be discouraged by that. Paul was falsely accused. First of all, he didn't even want to, like, think about how Paul was when they had that disagreement in the church a few chapters back, and they were like, no, the non-Jewish people need to be circumcised in order to really be saved. Paul traveled back to Jerusalem to get insight from the OGs, the original apostles who walked with Jesus. Peter is like, no, God revealed it to me. The people who are non-Jews do not need to be circumcised in order to be saved. They just need to believe in Jesus and worship him in spirit and truth. So that was the direction to go. And now Paul is back in Jerusalem. Even after all his friends were telling him, don't go back. We see what's going to happen to you. We see you're going to get tied up. Like, don't go back. Jesus came and stood by him and told him, you've told the Jews about me. Now I need you to go and tell everybody else, right? So he was encouraged in that. So he goes into the temple to do the ceremonial cleansing because the Jewish leaders told him to. And now he gets accused. He gets falsely accused of disgracing the temple, making it unclean, taking Greeks into the purified room. All the stuff that he never did. He never did any of that. They drag this man outside. A mob forms around him. And now these Roman soldiers have to protect him. He goes to trial. Everybody's lying on him. And now he has to sit in a prison for 2 years. 2 years with no real charges against him. But here's what I love. In verse 16, when he says, this is why I always try to do what I believe is right before God and before everyone. He could have said, listen, I recant. I'm out. Leave me alone. Fine. You guys don't want me talking about the way. You guys don't want me talking about Jesus. You know, guys don't want me talking about salvation through spirit and truth, believing in what Jesus did on the cross. Fine. I'm out. He could have done that, right? He could have done that and taken the easy road out and not had to deal with the stuff anymore. But Paul did what he truly believed God was asking him to do, even though he didn't even see a finish line. Like, imagine that. The person who put you in prison gets voted out of office. Somebody else is in office now. You're still in prison. You know what I mean? Like, think about the kind of faith that takes to not just recant and say, let me out. I'm done. Let me out. He stayed encouraged and he continued witnessing to this governor for 2 years. He didn't throw up his hands. He didn't say, I'm done with this. He didn't say, I quit. He continued being faithful to God because he was doing what he believed God called him to do. And we can take encouragement from that on our own purpose journey as Christian entrepreneurs. Even when things don't look right and our friends who mean well tell us don't do it. Our family members who mean well tell us we don't think this is the right path for you to go. And we go it anyway and things fail and we end up in a situation we never thought we were going to be in. And it's overwhelming and there's no end in sight. And all we just want to do is quit and put our hands up and say, fine, I'm not doing this anymore. Look at what Paul did. He kept ministering. He kept encouraging. He kept speaking. He continued with the faith. He never lost sight of what he believed God was asking him to do. And I love that verse in verse 16. I love that because that's all we can go by. As Christian entrepreneurs, we can't go by what our friends say, our peers say, our mentors say, our coaches say, the government says, this person says, that person. We can't go by any of that when it comes to what God is asking us to do in our business. We have to only go by what we believe the Lord Jesus himself is telling us. Because as much as I truly believe we need to be networking with other women of faith, we need to stay encouraged, We need to make sure we're praying for each other and supporting each other and sharing knowledge with each other. At the end of the day, the only person who can tell you what to do with your business and your ministry is Jesus himself. The only person. Nobody else sees in you what God knows is in you. Nobody else sees in you what God has planned for you. Nobody can know that. Only your creator knows. And when you're making decisions, you gotta base it off what Jesus himself is telling you. I'm about to start this pretty aggressive work session, right? here at Godlywood Girl. I praise God, I'm just about finished up with my novel. So my final legend goal for the year is to launch this Godlywood Girl TV app. I am not a tech person. I've never launched an app in my life. I know a little bit of code, not much. So it's a very overwhelming thought to think about, oh my gosh, like in 4 months, I'm supposed to have an app done. It's a little overwhelming. And sometimes when I let myself really think about it, I get a little scared. I get a little scared thinking about what it's going to be like sitting behind a computer for hours at a time building this thing from the ground up. I currently have the Godlywood Girl School of Purpose and the Godlywood Girl School of Business, but I use somebody else's software to build those things. I use Teachable to build those. This would be the first time I'm building a course from scratch using my own platform. And it's something I've been wanting to do since I was in college. All glory to Jesus, I've been wanting to do this. I didn't realize in college it was going to be an app, but that's the technology that we have now, and so it's going to be an app. And it's overwhelming thinking about sitting there doing this by myself, right? But then I got to remember, this is what Jesus asked me to do. It's not like I'm in between, not sure whether or not this is the path I'm supposed to take or not. No, Jesus made it very clear to me. This is the path I'm supposed to be taking. He put me here to do this, right? So even though when I launch it, I am going to be losing income, right? I am going to be end up because I'm not taking any payments in the month of December just so I can only focus on launching this. So I am going to be losing income. And that just thinking about that is like, wow, we're really going to say bye to an entire month of income so we can focus on only doing this app, right? But I've known this the entire year. That's been the plan the entire year. Now that we're getting closer to it, you know, I have people who mean well, but who are emailing me and saying, are you sure you want to do this? Like, are you sure that's the right step to take? And they mean well. They genuinely mean well. But when I hear those things, especially from people who I know serve the Lord and love him like I do, it makes me feel like questioning myself. Like, is this the right path to take? Am I making a good business decision? Am I supposed to be doing this? Especially when you don't know that there's an end in sight. I have no idea if I'll actually be able to build this thing in 4 months. None, because I've never built an app before. I'm going completely on faith in this entire process. But I have to do what God asked me to do. I have to do what God asked me to do, and I have to stop inviting other people's opinions into that. And that's a tough decision to make. That's a really tough decision to make, because when you're building a business, you obviously don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to fail. You don't want to have setbacks. But that's part of the process. That's absolutely part of the process. And I just recorded this YouTube video, this Get Ready With Me, where I said, listen, 4 months from now, you may hear me saying I failed. I completely messed this up 100%. But you know what? I tried it. And I did what I truly believe God is asking me to do. Not what he said is right, not what she said is right, not what they said is right, but what I believe God told me is right for me to do. That's all I can go by. And so on your purpose journey, look at what Jesus himself is asking you to do and move forward with that.
All right, sis, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Let's pause for a moment for today's sponsor.
So let's pick up with Acts chapter 25. Festus became governor, and 3 days later he went from Caesarea to Jerusalem. The leading priests and the important Jewish leaders made charges against Paul before Festus. They asked Festus to do them a favor. They wanted him to send Paul back to Jerusalem because they had a plan to kill Paul on the way. But Festus answered, no, Paul will be kept in Caesarea. I will be going there soon myself, and your leaders can go with me. If this man has really done anything wrong, they can accuse him there. Festus stayed in Jerusalem another 8 or 10 days and then went back to Caesarea. The next day, Festus told the soldiers to bring Paul before him. Festus was seated on the judgment seat. Paul came into the room, and the Jews who had come from Jerusalem stood around him. They made many serious charges against him, but they could not prove anything.
Paul defended himself, saying, I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law, against the temple, or against Caesar. But Festus wanted to please the Jews, so he asked Paul, Do you want to go to Jerusalem for me to judge you there on these charges? Paul said, I'm standing at Caesar's judgment seat now. This is where I should be judged. I've done nothing wrong to the Jews, and you know it. If I have done something wrong and the law says I must die, then I agree that I should die. I don't ask to be saved from death. But if these charges are not true, then no one can hand me over to these people. No, I want Caesar to hear my case. Festus talked about this with his advisors. Then he said, you have asked to see Caesar, so you will go to Caesar. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to visit Festus. They stayed there many days, and Festus told the king about Paul's case. Festus said, there's a man that Felix left in prison. When I went to Jerusalem, the leading priests and the older Jewish leaders there made charges against him. They wanted me to order his death. But I told them, when a man is accused of doing something wrong, Romans don't hand him over for others to judge. First, he must face the people accusing him, and then he must be allowed to defend himself against their charges. So when these Jews came here for the trial, I did not waste time. The next day, I sat on the judgment seat and ordered Paul to be brought in. The Jews stood up and accused him, but they did not accuse him of the kind of crimes I thought they would. Their charges were all about their own religion and about a man named Jesus. Jesus died, but Paul said that he's still alive. I did not have any idea about how to judge these matters. So I asked Paul, do you want to go to Jerusalem and be judged there? But Paul asked to be kept in Caesarea. He wants a decision from the emperor. So I ordered that he be held until I could send him to Caesar in Rome. Agrippa said to Festus, I'd like to hear this man too. Festus said, tomorrow you can hear him. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came to the meeting with great show, acting like very important people. They entered the room with military leaders and important men of the city. Festus ordered the soldiers to bring Paul in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all of you gathered here with us, you see this man. All the Jewish people here and in Jerusalem have complained to me about him. When they complained about him, they shout that he should be killed. When I judged him, I did not find him guilty of any crime worthy of death, but he asked to be judged by Caesar, so I decided to send him to Rome. However, I don't really know what to tell Caesar that this man has done wrong, so I brought him before all of you, especially you, King Agrippa. I hope that you can question him and give me something to write to Caesar. I think it's foolish to send a prisoner to Caesar without making some charges against him. Acts 26. Agrippa said to Paul, you may now speak to defend yourself. Paul raised his hand to get their attention and began to speak. He said, King Agrippa, I feel fortunate that I can stand here before you today and answer all the charges these Jews have made against me. I'm very happy to talk to you because you know so much about all the Jewish customs and the things the Jews argue about. Please listen to me patiently. All the Jews know about my whole life. They know the way I lived from the beginning in my own country and later in Jerusalem. These Jews have known me for a long time. If they want to, they can tell you that I was a good Pharisee. And the Pharisees obey the laws of the Jewish religion more carefully than any other group. Now I am on trial because I hope for the promise that God made to our fathers. This is the promise that all the 12 tribes of our people hope to receive. For this hope, the Jews serve God day and night. My king, the Jews have accused me because I hope for the same promise. Why do you people think it's impossible for God to raise people from death? I used to think that I should do everything I could against Jesus from Nazareth. And that's what I did. Beginning in Jerusalem, the leading priest gave me the authority to put many of God's people in jail. And when they were being killed, I agreed that it was a good thing. I visited all the synagogues and punished them, trying to make them curse Jesus. My anger against these people was so strong that I went to other cities to find them and punish them. One time, the leading priest gave me permission and the authority to go to the city of Damascus. On the way there, at noon, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. It shined all around me and those traveling with me. We all fell to the ground. Then I heard a voice talking to me in Aramaic. The voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You're only hurting yourself by fighting me. Verse 15, I said, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus. I am the one you are persecuting. Stand up. I have chosen you to be my servant. You will tell people about me, what you have seen today, and what I will show you. This is why I have come to you. I will keep you safe from your own people and from the non-Jewish people, the ones I am sending you to. You will make them able to understand the truth. They will turn away from darkness to the light. They will turn away from the power of Satan, and they will turn to God. Then their sins can be forgiven, and they can be given a place among God's people, those who have been made holy by believing in me. Paul continued speaking, King Agrippa, after I had this vision from heaven, I obeyed it. I began telling people to change their hearts and lives and turn back to God. And I told them to do what would show that they had really changed. I went first to the people in Damascus. Then I went to Jerusalem and to every part of Judea and told the people there. I also went to the non-Jewish people. This is why the Jews grabbed me and were trying to kill me at the temple. But God helped me, and he's still helping me today. With God's help, I am standing here today and telling all people what I've seen. But I'm not saying anything new. I'm saying only what Moses and the prophets said would happen. They said that the Messiah would die and be the first to rise from death. They said that he would bring the light of God's saving truth to the Jewish people and to the non-Jewish people. Verse 24, while Paul was still defending himself, Festus shouted, Paul, you are out of your mind. Too much study has made you crazy. Paul said, most honorable Festus, I'm not crazy. What I'm saying is true. It all makes perfect sense. King Agrippa knows about all this, and I can speak freely to him. I know that he's heard about these things, because they happened where everyone could see them. King Agrippa, do you believe what the prophets wrote? I know you believe. King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think you can persuade me to become a Christ follower so easily? Paul said, it's not important if it's easy or if it's hard. I pray to God that not only you, but everyone listening to me today could be saved and be just like me, except for these chains I have. King Agrippa, Governor Festus, Bernice, and all the people sitting with them stood up and left the room. They were talking to each other, and they said, this man has done nothing worthy of being put to death or even put in jail. And Agrippa said to Festus, we could let him go free, but he asked to see Caesar. So that's three chapters in Acts, Acts 24, 25, and 26. And what I love most about this chapter particularly is how important it is for you to share your story, share your testimony, share what Jesus did in your life. You see how Paul is able to stand in front of kings, governors, leaders, common people, anybody, and present the gospel of Christ so clearly? It's because he knows his story. He knows what he came from. He knows what he did. He knows how Jesus called him, and he knows what his mission is today. And so he's able to repeat this and say this eloquently and poetically and beautifully to communicate the story of salvation to anybody listening. So for you, think about yourself. Think about your story, your testimony, how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you know how you would say that to people? Do you know how you would share the gospel of Christ through the story God gave you? I love when Paul mentions here when Jesus called him in Damascus, Jesus said, I want you to tell the story of what happened here. Jesus didn't say, keep it secret how I called you. He said, no, you're going to be telling people how I came to you and found you in Damascus. You're going to tell people. Because that's part of how people are able to understand the gospel of Christ. Remember when Jesus came, he taught through parables. He taught through stories, right? Because people learn through stories. And as you are witnessing to others and telling people about how good God is and salvation and what Jesus did on the cross, share your own story. Share your own testimony. Practice it, right? Write it down. If you're not quite sure how you would actually tell somebody your testimony story, sis, write it down. Write that bad boy down of how the Lord actually led you to him. I tell my story all the time about how I started Godlywood Girls because I failed at my first business, completely failed, like totally failed, like almost had to declare bankruptcy type of failed. And so the Lord used a YouTube video by Dr. E.T. Thomas to get me out of my depression and to start this company, Godlywood Girl. And so I share that story all the time because it just lets people understand how Jesus works in every part of our lives. The failures, the successes, the journey on the way up, the journey going down. He works in every single area of our lives. And so I share that testimony because the first thing I did was write it down. I have a book called The War of Purpose, and it shares that story of everything that happened. And writing it down helped me so much be able to understand, okay, with clarity, I can share this story, share this testimony, and really help people see how Jesus really shifted in my life through a failure, right? Through a near bankruptcy. So I encourage you to do the same exact thing in your business as a Christian entrepreneur. How often are you sharing your testimony? How often are you sharing the gospel of Christ through your story, how God called you? write that down, right? Write it down so that you can start to share this in your opportunities via email, live streams, webinars, YouTube videos, whatever the Lord is calling you to do in your business. When he puts it on your heart and says, share my story, tell them about me, you already know what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. So you're always ready to rep the kingdom. And if the Lord is calling you to start a Christian business online, but you're not quite sure how to do it, grab my free Christian business toolkit at purposegift.com/businesskit. That'll show you how to start your Christian business online through the power of sales funnels. And you can also, if you're thinking to yourself, well, Stephanie, I'm not quite sure if I'm a Christian. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And what that means is being a Christian is trusting in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you want to make that decision today, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is say this prayer with me, and you're going to say, dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again. Today, I believe in you as my personal Lord and Savior. Sister in Christ, if you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom. Angels are literally celebrating you right now. Your name has been written in the book of life. Nobody can take it out. Get into a virtual Bible-based church in your area and get started reading the Word of God. I always recommend starting with the book of John because it's literally like the Lord's love letter to you. We did a whole series here on the podcast studying the book of John, so rewind a few episodes and you'll get to check that out. Sisters in Christ, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you complete and total purpose over your body, mind, and soul in the name of Jesus, and give you peace, mercy, and favor forever and ever. Amen.
So that's it for today's episode of the God the Wood Girl Live Your Purpose as a Christian Entrepreneur Bible Study. Have any questions? DM me anytime on Instagram or send an email to hello@godthewoodgirl.com. I'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to grab my free Find Your Purpose Toolkit to help you get started living God's purpose for your life at purposegift.com. Thanks for listening, God the Wood Girl. I'll see you on the next one.